Muse in the News with Greg Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All Pro Foundation Repair.
I have to apologize for my voice. It's a little bit. It's going out a little bit. So,
wasting time.
All right. I'm back on the air. Hopefully, I'm on the air. Yeah. Over the air. Anyway, we haven't really covered this story, but it's taking weird twists. It's the story of Anson Chai, or Chi. He's the Plano bombing suspect. This is the dude who was goofing with a gas main or something and trying to affix a bomb to it and everything. It blew up on him. He went to the hospital in critical condition. He's a 33-year-old dude, political activist. He's been a fugitive since 2009 in California, where he violated his probation on a concealed weapon conviction. But he moved back in with his parents. He was living with his parents, and he had was kind of a known anti-government guy.
Mm-hmm.
He had a YouTube video which said that he won't pay income tax to the federal government until you show him the law that says that he has to pay taxes. That's a common refrain from the far, far right. I guess it's far, far right. Is it far, far left? They kind of connect at some point. They both coexist and commingle in a Venn diagram of craziness. Anyway, online, on his resume, he lists under miseducation a business degree from the University of Texas at Dallas in 2000. And he also wrote a book called
Yellow on the Outside, Shame on the Inside, Asian Culture Revealed.
Why are you laughing, Deuce?
Just at your voice and the fact that you feel you need to throw it every time. I've never heard a drop. I've never heard a Gordo drop on this station. That's the reason.
That's
why.
Isn't it? Always got to protect
it is genius.
Yourself. In the book, he wrote, "Thank you, Mommy and Daddy, for turning me." Well, hold on. Thank you.
Speaking of throwing your voice.
Thank you, Mommy and Daddy, for turning me into an emotionless robot just for the sake of money, status, and power. I seriously need counseling.
Ed Carter, good morning.
Have you ever written that, Mike? Is that on your bio on Fox 4?
Yeah, check out the website. You'll see that.
Oh, please. Some benevolent hacker get into the Fox 4 website and put that on Deucey's biography.
Just all the generic stuff. And then, and finally,
thanks, thank you, Mommy and Daddy, for turning me into an emotionless robot.
Yeah, I don't know if you say that as an counseling. Adult at any point. Do you refer to him as Mommy and Daddy?
Yeah, that's a little weird. But, you know, your hero, Ronald Reagan, called his own wife Mommy.
Just kind of a nickname.
Well,
dads do that because that's what
the now.
Because that's what the kids call Mom.
Yeah, but after the kids are grown up, you don't still call her Mommy. You call the wife Mommy if you have kids and you're telling the kids to go say something to her. Or you're, you know, saying, hey, yeah, you're going to go with Mommy to the store or something. You don't, when the kids are in bed, you don't still call your wife Mommy. Do you, George?
I don't know. I don't think
you
so.
You don't know.
I'm giving Ronald Reagan a free pass like I always do. So what's wrong with that?
Okay.
Well, Mommy, what view should I take on this policy, Mommy?
I don't know, Rhines.
Boy, there's a lot of vocal nut kicking going on here. We're trying to do voices.
Well, Mommy, here I am. Rocky like a hurricane. You want to make love tonight, Mommy?
Don't you think it's a little weird?
Well, how do you know he said it at that point?
What do you mean? You think he used more vulgar language?
I don't know. Go back to your content.
You want
to
blank me raw, Mommy?
Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with you?
Well, it's not me. It's dead anyway. Ronald Reagan. First human case of West Nile confirmed in Tarrant County.
Uh-oh.
This is the third North Texas county in which a human case has been discovered this month. So, watch out. We need to get these. You know, if we could just create a program of educating the mosquitoes on how not to get West Nile from each other.
That would help.
Yes.
What are the symptoms of West Nile?
You retire from basketball is the first thing you do.
I think you're confusing that with something else.
You're wronging me because you laugh a lot off the air, and then on the air you won't laugh.
What possible benefit is there for me to laugh at that last reference?
Well, because you're naturally laughing at it. It's just you're hiding it from the listener.
Wasn't West Nile a big deal 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, wasn't there a lot of it
so
going
you're saying
around?
It can't touch
before
you.
Before LSU got beat by Alabama? Is that what you're saying? Oh, that was Les Miles. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I didn't think at your weight and height you could get in that back bend.
Did it.
All of Texas is out of the worst stage of drought for the first time in nearly 15 months. It's called exceptional drought. I guess that's the worst stage, and none of Texas is in exceptional drought.
That's good.
10% of the state is drought-free. It's in no state of drought.
You'll be right back in drought,
and I got bored in the middle of my own story.
How are the lake levels, George?
They're good around here, but out west, there's still some lakes that are low.
See, I tire of the lake levels never being exactly right. And I give our weather guys a hard time about this. I want to know. Because there's always some sort of problem.
Oh, they're too high or they're
either
too low.
How do they know what level it's supposed to be at? In the lake, just whatever naturally it occurs at, that's the level it's supposed to be. That's the way God wants it.
Hmm. Well, some, though, you have the ability to let water out, though. And you need that with some lakes that are, you know, like a part of the Brazos River or something like that. You want them at a certain level. You don't want them way low.
Let's let God decide that.
Well, we're messing with God's plan, though, with water.
That's right. That's right. We need to stop doing that.
You want to have drinking water? Then we need to mess with it. And that's why it matters, Deuce, because water's very precious, especially here in the
generic
great state
point.
Of Texas.
Craig James is a good buddy of yours, George.
We used to work together, yeah. I get along fine with
Craig. So what's Craig James going to do now that he almost won that Senate primary, but just fell a little bit short?
He almost won, and you know it. You're making fun of his candidacy.
I am not.
Do you know that Craig James was my immediate predecessor at Fox 4?
Really?
I replaced him as the weeknight sports anchor.
That's right.
He was there for about 10 months. Ted Dawson had been there, I don't know, 5 years or something. James took over and then got the ESPN deal. I'm sorry to
digress story,
Gordon. I'll tell it again later if you'd like.
Yeah, let's promote it. 9:15, you're going to tell your famous Craig James story?
Stretch it out into 10 minutes. Right. So tune in, everybody.
So Craig James says that there, quote, there are a couple networks that have called to see what I'm willing to do.
Okay, well, I'm sure he's got network experience.
When I resigned in December, I went all in for politics, and I found out how many people enjoyed me as a broadcaster.
Now, that could have been some self-deprecating humor there, if taken the right way, correct?
I don't think it was meant to be self-deprecating.
Try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He also said, I know that I'm a communicator and have broadcasting skills that have taken me to the highest level. I can do sports, but I have a political platform now. I've had folks reach out to me about that, and I can talk about sports and turn my hat around and talk about what is happening with Iran, Israel, immigration, Medicare, Medicaid.
So he wants to do political TV now?
Political sports talk.
Apparently he wants to use George W. Bush's voice while he does it as well. So that'll be good.
Man, more verbal.
You are a grade-A jerk.
Jousting.
Sorry.
You're a jerk.
Yeah, we all three of us are just trying to entertain, right? We're just trying to keep people happy on the way to work.
Ceasefire.
Let's play as a team.
As soon as someone steps out on the diving board to execute a fun little verbal dive, everybody's got a kick in the nuts on the way down.
All right, let's play as a team. Let's go.
Jerry Sandusky, jury is still deliberating.
And then hours after they started deliberating, did you hear the revelation that came out?
Mm-hmm.
His son?
Yes, his adopted son, who originally, when all this broke, his adopted son said he never, because his adopted son, Jerry, met through that Second Mile Foundation, too, and got involved with the Sanduskies, and the Sanduskies eventually adopted him when he was 13. He said, Jerry, no, he never did anything weird to me. Now he's come out and said that he was repeatedly molested by his adopted dad.
Is there any way the jury finds out about this revelation?
Are they sequestered? I don't know whether they were sequestered.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
I haven't been able to find that out.
So
the timing seems odd to me.
He was at the age of 11 when he went to live with the Sanduskies.
Not horrible.
Okay, I can't do the story anymore because it makes me too upset and angry.
Just okay. We know the guy's on trial. He's going to go to prison. That's basically what we need to know.
Okay, let me tell you the story of a wrong diagnosis. Horrible story. So, well, I guess it's kind of a good story in one way because the guy was given the diagnosis that his lung cancer had spread to his heart and he only had months to live. So Frank and his wife Wilma sold their house. They canceled their health insurance. They put together a bucket list of things that they wanted to do before death would take Frank to hell. Or wherever he was going, I don't know. Anyway, so they let their house go at a significant loss. They just took the hit on the house. They took expensive trips to Australia and Fiji. They went on lavish spending sprees. Frank also started smoking and drinking coffee, two things he had to quit when he found out that he was sick.
Why do your eyes light up as you tell this story, as we get deeper into this story?
And he said that they didn't worry about going into debt because they figured that his life insurance would cover these debts. And he said, quote,
"If the pain got too bad, I was going to kill myself. But the pain never came, and everyone was surprised I was still alive."
So 2 years after he gets his terminal cancer diagnosis, they redid an ultrasound and found that he was cancer-free.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he's fine.
Out of money.
He's just fine. And now they're staring at, just on his credit cards, he's $80,000 in debt.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, that...
So that's kind of the mixed blessing, right? You're going to live.
But the original,
but you're going to live in a debtor's prison.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still have those.
But that wasn't going to do well for his wife after he...
Well, they were thinking that the life insurance covers
okay.
it. He had life insurance. So they're going to get the big payday.
The suicide might have, made that a little problematic. But
well, I'm sure he investigated that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have to investigate and make sure that you don't have a suicide exemption. Have you investigated that for you, Mike?
No comment.
Oh, no. Wow.
So everything's going to be okay. Let's just put it that way.
Reminds me of the old trick. If you know that your wife's about to find out that you've been banging a waitress at IHOP or something, you go home, you sit her down, and you say, "Hey, sweetheart, just came back from the doctor, and it's bad news." And you tell her that you're going to die. And then when she's crying, you say, no, I take that back. I'm not dying. It's just I did this with an IHOP waitress, and you're going to find out about it.
Courage.
So it's good news that I'm going to live, right?
And then she kills you, so you're dead anyway.
Yeah, yes. I don't think that's going to work out very well.
And then, then the coroner's loading your body out a couple hours later. And your chalk outline's on your floor. Do they still do the chalk outline?
I don't know.
It seems like such antiquated technology to do a chalk outline.
I guess they do.
You know, let's do that. Let's do that one morning. We're up here before anyone else. Let's do a chalk outline out in the hallway out there and put up some yellow tape and then put a secret camera and just film
see
people's
what
reaction. Yeah.
I want you to do one outside the Channel 8 studios over there across the way here at Victory just to see if they would reference it in any way and have it be the obvious body formation of Dale.
Oh, my.
They're on the ground. Just for fun. Just to have some fun
with
it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Just
fun.
For fun.
Yeah.
Just to see what would happen.
Have you guys seen the bullying video of the bus monitor in Greece, New York?
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. It is the worst thing ever. This poor middle-aged woman is sitting there on the bus. She's supposed to be a bus monitor, and these middle school kids, which middle school is... What ranks higher on the worst list? Is it middle school or hell itself? Which one of those two is the worst? So these kids start making fun of 68-year-old Karen Klein. They let loose with a stream of profanities. They insult her. They're jeering. They're physically ridiculing her. They demanded to know her address, saying they wanted to come to her house and perform Gretrolex and steal from her. They said one of them told her that she probably doesn't have a family because, quote,
"They all killed themselves because they didn't want to be near you."
And the woman, at one point, the kid asked, "Look at that. What are you, sweating and everything because you're so fat?" She goes, "No, I'm crying." It is the worst 10 minutes of video you'll ever see.
So everyone on the bus just let this happen?
Yeah, they were all ganging up on her.
What's going on right now, guys?
Bullying continued, unabated, for 10 minutes. And even one giggling student jabbed her arm with a book and started making fun of her weight. And it was all recorded by a kid with a cell phone. Well, it goes viral, and everyone's talking about this, and this has become the story of the nation. And it is just so cruel, and you're just watching this going, wow, we are animals.
Yeah.
We are absolute animals.
And that's where we are now with letting kids do what they do. And when they get in trouble, we don't try to discipline them or try to change them. We just try to, hey, wait a minute, you're not gonna say that about my kid. We had to become defense attorneys.
At one point, she tells the kids, I'm a person too, and I shouldn't be treated this way.
Oh, that's horrible.
And the kids just kept going. And now she says she does not want to press criminal charges. They've opened up all these bullying investigations on these kids and identifying them and so on. So these kids, that'll stay with them forever too, right?
Yeah.
The video of them doing that. Hey, we're one of the bullying
kids
from Greece, New York. Anyway, they started a fund for her online to raise money, some vacation money for her. I guess she said in an interview that she just wanted to take a vacation someday, and somebody started this vacation fund for her. $430,000 so far in that fund.
Okay, see, there's good people out there, too.
For 10 minutes of bullying?
I'll take it. All right, let's take birthdays.
All right. Chris Christopherson is 76.
Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again.
The Clarence singing? What are you trying to do?
It's a great song.
Hey, we're playing as a team.
He wrote a lot of great songs,
yeah,
Chris Christopherson.
He's got some greatness.
Me and Buffalo, Bobby McGee, right?
Buffalo Afterbirth. Michael Lerner is 71. Todd Rundgren, 64.
Woo-wee, there's some greatness.
Hello, it's me.
You overrate that.
No, I don't. He's awesome.
Meryl Streep is 63.
She's a good.
Lindsay Wagner, 63. I had a crush on her when I was
way too young
to have crushes on people. Yeah. She could crush the tennis ball with her hand.
Yeah. Change a tire in just a matter of seconds.
Kind of a warning shot to all people with scrotums. Graham Greene from Dances with Wolves is 60.
Which one was he?
He was Stands with Fist. He was the main guy, main Indian.
Oh, okay.
A main Native American. What is it?
I don't know. Is it Tatanka? Buffalo?
No, that's just the word for buffalo. Oh. Cindy Lauper is 59.
You overrate her.
Gordon's
a huge Cindy Lauper fan.
No, I'm not.
You are.
But I will say she's popular in the gay community.
Did she write True Colors?
Yes.
That's a good song.
It's a great song.
I think she co-wrote it. Carson Daly is 39. That's a different Carson. Ian Kinsler is 30.
All right. Kins.
Clyde Drexler, 50.
Woo, Clyde the Glide. Loved him.
Kurt Warner is 41.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
There you go.
No one cares.
Former Barnstormer. All right, Gordo, thank you. 7:34 here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. Up next, it's Ducey's Scatter Shooting.
Asian men could be beautiful, right?